tell you before you invest too much time in this podcast. This whole fucking show, this whole fucking hour, is all about the Scarborough dude and his counseling and his therapy and his insights and his head up his ass kind of stuff that you're probably sick of by now. He doesn't talk about anything else. It's just a warning. Okay? I'm just telling you. Before you push that play button or go any further with this, take a warning from me. This guy is just so fucking full of his own issues and problems. You're gonna go crazy just listening. Oh, fuck, he's coming. All right, it's a warning. That's all. I'll talk to you next week. I'll be back. Bye.
Yippee! Yippee! Yippee!
What's the title of this thing? No title again?
I'm that little lady,
is it rolling, Bob?
Frank, settle down on the valley. Beyond his wild years.
You gotta love that introduction. Frank's wild years. I guess maybe it's a question of mood. I tried this on my son yesterday, and he didn't get it. Tom Waits. He's a harder sell than Bob Dylan, I think. And I know our good friend Anthony Marco is a huge fan, probably even bigger than me, but he's growing on me more and more and more. I don't think when I was young I listened to him much, but there's something about that voice and that style and the creativity, the range, and the instrumentation, the musicians he's got with him. Holy shit. The last podcast, Dixon James 404, featured only two songs, but they're both by two or three, I don't know, both by Tom Waits. From this new CD, new used CD I picked up for $8.99, Tom Waits' Beautiful Melodies, The Island Years. And what's nice about it, it's a compilation that he's made. There's 23 tracks on it, which is just great. All the lyrics included, and a mix. You know, I thought, oh shit, I've already got those tunes, but you get bits and pieces from different ones, including the other one I carry here in the car, Swordfish Trombones, which is another rougher sell, but what an album! So I'm thrilled about this. I've already played this particular cut, I think, on my podcast. I think you're going to be hearing a little more Seagulls, of course, always. But also Tom Waits on the Dixon James podcast, because it really suits my mood and sometimes maybe even my style. Sitting in the front seat of my car, looking out kind of at the view that is featured on Dixon James podcast 404, the previous one. I took a little shot from behind the bench where I'm sitting, and I moved my car, Bluffers Park, of course, moved my car in here to go back to that bench, and saw a couple strolling by, knowing they were heading there. And I, you know, an asshole would jump out of his car and run and intercept and take it. And I'm not all that often an asshole. It just means so much for me to have somebody else sitting on that bench. It's an older guy, bald headed. He's got to be in his 50s anyway. And a young woman, I don't know, darker skin, short black hair. And I was thinking, geez, is that his adopted daughter? Is it a girlfriend? Is it a... I don't know. You know, I no idea what the relationship is. But they're sitting close on the bench. He's using his hands to describe the size of something. No, no, don't go there. it's nice. Don't spoil my lovely vision of this. It's just important that the two of them have my bench and their conversation. That's all I'm saying. So I started off the day well. It's Saturday morning. Slept into 8:30, which I never do. Some of you won't call that sleeping in, but I do. Managed to squeeze in a business meeting with a business partner. As you know, I've got four companies going. It was great just to catch up over coffee. And I went back to the very same restaurant. It used to be by the Bluffs, now called, it's a fusion restaurant, which means they sell everything from sushi to hamburgers and fish and chips. which is nuts. But, of course, all Chinese run, calling itself a Japanese restaurant. But, yeah, my son and I tried the food there last night, and I wouldn't eat Japanese food there again. But for breakfast, you can't beat it. So, Doug, you know you're in the area if you're looking for... I mean, when I say I can't beat it, hey, you want bacon? Today I had French toast and sliced banana. God, was that ever nice. And lots of black coffee. And then a good business meeting talking about, you know, a few things that you don't need to know and I don't need to share, I guess. The day-to-day stuff of my summer tour. I've got a partner who's actually principal of a high school, and that's a good partner to have. So I'm going to be working, god damn, for a long time, but I like it. I've got that, you know, remember I told you the last podcast, probably, when I was slurring my words about all these brilliant ideas I get. I want to share it with Mitch Joel, and of course, the next day, there's one that doesn't go away, and it's big, and it really is a good idea. I couldn't pull it off by myself, and even with this business partner, together the two of us could spearhead it. But we would need some good help. We'd have the capital. That wouldn't be the problem. We'd just need some help. And I guess especially somebody technically savvy. So if I believe in fate and destiny and, you know, things happening at the right time and meeting the right person. If there's somebody out there who knows their way around, a little bit of programming, could maybe even make an app. And this would involve using... iPhones, think a little bit along the lines, and of course you're going to call me a copycat, and it's not true at all. I had this idea years ago, and I've even told people about it. I have credible witnesses. Think about what Julian's doing, this unlocking places to have your little office around the world, you know, different places where you can put your feet up for an hour or have a little business meeting, and... it's called Breather. You can get a space when you're in a strange city and you need a place to do a little work. And Starbucks is just too damn busy and you can't lie down. Julian has the answer for you. It's a great concept, great idea. I got the inside scoop from Mike Vardy. I said, well, that's not going to work. I don't see that. And now, of course, having read about it, knowing that he's got $1.5 million of venture capital money behind him, and a guy like Julian, holy shit, this is going to work. So, I have my little idea, which I can't share with anybody anymore. And I'm not saying, don't get me wrong, you know the Scarborough dude just likes to talk. This is probably never going to happen, but it still is. All I'm saying is, all I'm trying to do is tell myself, reassure myself, not you, the listener, I don't care what you think, that, yeah, I still have a functioning brain. And if I was a lot younger, I'd be jumping right in there. And I'll share. We'll let it lie there, okay? I didn't really even want to talk about that. God damn it, how to get into business. I'm still waiting for my copies of Amazing Things Will Happen. And Unblock, Doc, Delete. No, confusing it. Control, Alt, Delete. I think that's the one from Mitch. And when I do, you're going to hear about it. You're going to hear about it. Saturday morning, and I think I'm going to rush into my office. I've got some reading to do. God damn, you know, I told you last clip about hitting that zone when you turn 65, you know. You're always, I mean, the number of people who go through grief, oh my God, I'm going to be 30, my life's over. Well, yeah, it's a change. You got to, you know, you can't pretend you're going younger. You are going older. I don't even think when you're in your 20s you even think about age. And probably when you get to be at 29 and a half, you start thinking, what am I doing with my life? And then the 30s coast along and go, hey, it's not all that different from my 20s. And then, holy shit, 40. God damn, people are married, have children, doing shit by the time they're 40. Got a full-time job. But you can, you know, that old life begins at 40. I told myself that. And I bought into it, and you can get into a pretty nice groove at 40. And hey, boom, you're still, you know, you're not even thinking about aches and pains, or you shouldn't be. You're just in this kind of a boom, bam, boom, bam. You're going. You got your car in gear. You're rolling down the highway. You know, you're just feeling, hey, this is not too bad. Yeah, you got some power behind you. You probably got a few bucks. in control of your life. You got a little more confidence. You don't have so much to prove. You know, you're doing okay. Rolling along in the 40s, and then you get up to 40 and 50. Holy fuck, 50. Now you're starting to see the dark at the end of the tunnel. And you know, there's no faking it. Okay, boom, officially, I'm moving into middle age. No, that ain't middle age no more. Yeah, I can hang on to it for a few years. 52, you're still on the good side of 40, you know. You're still okay. You're still healthy. Yeah, 55, holy fuck. A few more aches and pains, a couple of visits to the doctor, this and that. Who knows, maybe you've even had surgery by that point. And starting to worry about your weight and shit, and other people around you are starting to drop or retire, and you wonder if you really do have your house in order, and but it's okay, I'm just going to still get back there, I'm still going to have fun, but you're more inclined to, I don't think I'll go out tonight, you know, I'll just watch a movie. You're starting to slow down a little bit, you know. You've been coasting along in your 40s, you know, cruise control, and then you're not in cruise control anymore. You got your foot on the pedal, and you're just sort of moving along down that highway, but you're starting to slow down just a little. You're probably not in the high passing lane anymore, the high speed lane. You've pulled over to let the other ones get by you. And next thing you know, you're 59. Holy fuck. Officially, and you start looking at people who are in that age, you think, oh, god damn, I can't possibly be one of them. And you start looking at people and thinking, is that where I'm going? And why are all these assholes talking about their health and shit? And oh my god, this is getting near the end of the line. How many more good years do I have left? And you start counting the seasons, and bam, next thing you're in your 60s. And then I can only go as far as 65, and I'm 65 now, and fuck, it's good. I'm telling you, I ain't lying. But all of that is to do with the here and now. Wherever you are, whatever age you're at, forget everything I just told you in the preceding few minutes, and be here now. Whatever age you're at, tune in, man. Tune in and live it. Be it. Own it. Oh, yeah. And it can be as good as you want it to be. So don't even fucking think about what I just told you. Forget all of that. All I'm trying to do is say, hey, don't worry about age, man. You'll be what you'll be. You are where you are. All right. We're done. Let's get back to some Tom Waits. And this is, by the way, if you're just tuning in now, if you came late, this is Dixon Jane's podcast number 405. 405. And we're coming at you, and we're on the slow crawl up to 500. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Now, listen, that couple on the bench, he's just put his arm around the back of the bench, and he's moved that much closer, and they got a little pigeon at their feet, and he's starting to make moves, and she's starting to pay more attention to the pigeon than to him, and I think she's looking, hey, you bald little fucker, what do you want from me? It's going to cost, buddy, it's going to cost. So, yep, I become a little more cynical, too. As soon as he made that move and just got a little bit closer, oh, yeah, she's young. There's got to be like a 30-year age difference. And he's got one thing in mind. Oh, yeah. She's going to play this one out nicely. Oh, she knows what she's doing. Yep, yep, yep. But I'll tell you, somebody's fate is on the line. Just indulge with me once more. A life is being played out before us as I sit here, only, 30 feet away, looking at this couple. I should really surreptitiously take a picture. A life is being played out. Like, the complications, you get caught up in your own life and what you're doing and where you're going and what happened and what's next. But their lives, like right now, there's something happening as to whether she's going to move with him, she's going to sleep with him, he's going to get her, he's going to get in trouble, she's going to end it here and now. How is this going to play out? We have no idea of the complications. And it's not only that, it's the ripples. If this intensifies a little, oh man, now he's right in her face. He's just looking, he's right looking at her, and he's man, he's telling her stuff. Oh, yeah, she just moved a little bit closer herself. Okay, maybe there's a promise of gold in there. Somebody else's lives are going to be touched, like either her brother, her sister, her auntie. Somebody is going to be affected by all of this. It ain't just them. Nobody works in isolation, and he might have some ex-wife somewhere down the line or children of his own saying, Dad, what the fuck are you doing with that little whore? She's not, of course, but you know how people perceive things. Oh, that reminds me, I got to update my reflection piece. I'm just enjoying so much this writing for this course, and I'm just analyzing the thing I like to do, the little interactions between people. Oh yeah, I got enough of my own going on that I don't need to be butting into others, but
golly, sometimes that's real interesting, you know, looking at somebody else's life, sometimes that's real interesting. Oh yeah. So you stay tuned to the Dixon James podcast, and you never know what the fuck you're going to hear, because we sure have a lot of fun on this here podcast. Oh, yeah. We have a lot of fun here. Oh, yeah. I'm telling you. Signing out. Over and out. Talk to you soon. Bye for now. Here's the tune.
Nighthawks at the diner. Emma's 49er. There's a rendezvous of strangers around a coffee urn at night. All the gypsy hacks and the insomniacs, now the paper's been read. Now the waitress said, eggs and sausage and a side of toast. A coffee and a roll, hash browns were easy. Chili in a bowl with burgers and fries. What kind of pie? It's a graveyard charade. It's a late shit masquerade. And it's 2 for a quarter. Dime for a dance. Woolworth rhinestone, diamond earring. And a sideways glance. Now the register rings. Now the waitress sings. Eggs and sausage, cider toast, coffee and a roll, hash browns over easy, chili in a bowl, burgers and fries. Section offers no direction. It's a cold caffeine in a nicotine cloud. As the touch of your fingers lingers burning in my memory, I pen 86th from your scheme. Now I'm in a melodramatic nocturnal scene. Now I'm a refugee from a disconcerted affair. Now the lead pipe morning falls. Now the waitress calls. Eggs and sausage. Now a side of toast. A coffee and a roll. Hash browns over easy. Chili in a bowl with burgers and fries. Now what kind of pie? and I join a crowd. Had some time to kill. See, I just come in to join the crowd. Had some time to kill. Just come in to join the crowd. Cause I had some time to kill.
Strange, this one. Hang on, maybe I'll turn off the light and see what that works. Let's see. Ooh, a little dark. I got a nice little light over here in the corner. Let me try this. Here we go. Kind of cozy. Yeah, that's nice. I'm in my office, and whatever you're about to hear on this podcast you're listening to is a result of mistakes I made today. Kind of strange, and I guess I won't make too big a deal out of it, but I woke up, couldn't find my charger for my iPad. Oh, shit. Then I remembered plugging it into the office in the wall, you know, to charge it up, and thought, oh, damn. Because I've done it before, I've left it in the office. Okay, that's that. Borrowed my wife's, and said I'll go in later and get it. Then I had added a PS. I had to write two papers due this week. One on my initial stance as a counselor. What are my beliefs, or foundations, you know, and with the idea I'm going to write another one at the end of the course and see how different they are. So that was the first assignment, and then another assignment, just a reflection paper on what I've learned so far in class and what it means to me. I love doing this stuff. I just eat it up. And I have just reread both papers. The one, the reflections paper with two PSs on it, because I related an incident which happened and then reflected back on my interpretation of the incident and then a reinterpretation. And they were well written. I've chosen my words carefully. Maybe I've said this before. I'm sorry. But I do like writing when it's focused and when I have to challenge myself to stay on topic, because, as you know, with the Dixon James podcast, I do... In a way, I do the opposite. I just allow myself free rein. And very often what happens is that it does follow a path. And good listeners like Tim Coyne, thank you, actually seem to get it and understand. Anyway, I read through both those papers, feel very proud of them. That was the reason I came back to the office, because I was at home, I had to staple on the PS. Could not find the papers anywhere. Oh, Jesus. Can't imagine leaving those in the office, but if they're nowhere at home, they're nowhere in the brown leather satchel that I carry every day, they must be in the office. Got to the office, saw that the iPad charger was not in my bag, and in fact, it was in the bag I had just slung over my shoulder and had been there all along since I put it there yesterday. And then got out my clipboard to take a look at my notes, and both my fully printed papers were there already. They were not left behind. So in other words, there was no reason for me to come to the office today. This is not just a brain malfunction or a warning sign, uh-oh, alarm bells, Alzheimer's, Alzheimer's, Alzheimer's. It's not that. It's just I wasn't looking in the right places. Yeah, okay. But I thought, okay, if that's it and I'm here now, I've got to assign some reason to it. I've got to get out the recorder and start talking. Now I've eaten up, oh, that's not bad, 4 minutes of your time explaining why I'm here and what I'm about to tell you. I guess I'm loving this course, and it's so odd to me. And I guess you've heard, if you've listened to me for a long time, I get enthused about things. I just get fired up. It's my nature. And then it dies down. But this second course is just as exciting as the first one. It's going to be till the day it ends. I will earn another A or A plus, because I'm just throwing everything I've got into it. It's just a question of it being the right time. Now, in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to have one more little credential to go with my counseling and my teacher of adults, you know, and my TESOL, my BA in psychology, which doesn't mean a whole lot, but certainly got me started. And that maybe I can use these for earning extra money. Actually, sitting in the chair I'm sitting now and doing counseling with individuals who are just sort of struggling in life a little bit and just need a little opening up to go out into life with a little bit of confidence and strength and take control of their destinies. And for so many people, that's just hard to do. They've given up. So I would sincerely like to help. But whether I do or don't, especially in terms of earning an income from it, I'm getting something from the courses right now. You cannot take a course on counseling without turning it back to yourself and thinking, gee, what about me? For example, I've discovered I am terribly afraid of crying. I might have mentioned that yesterday. Like, whoa, I just don't want to open that up. And I can reflect back 40 years to group therapy when it took two guys with big boffers, they were called, these big bats that were all padding, smacking, beating the shit out of me with them. You know, I sat in a chair and the whole, everybody was sort of at my feet and I, and they were chanting, you're cold, or something like that. And I felt in complete control. I had power over everybody. It was amazing. I remember that. Like, it was finding my, I'd been in this course for about 7-8 weeks. Everybody else was getting fixed except me. It was my turn. Finally, we got to get rid of Kenny. He's been here the longest now. It's time to do, it's his turn. We're going to nail him this Friday. And I just sat there and felt like I would, just this sense of, I don't know if it was power, but just a shield between me and everybody else, me and them chanting was having no impact. And finally, it took these two guys, big guys, to come up behind me and just start smacking the hell out of me just to piss me off, just to finally get me. And I ended up, by the end of it, I was in a fetal position crying for my father. Oh, and that's where I had to get to. I'm laughing because it's, of course, a little embarrassing to relate. But it certainly stuck with me. And any man knows that if you have issues about lots of things, it's so often your relationship with your dad. And it wasn't so much that it was a bad one, but I think I just wanted a little more out of it when I was younger, needed more, and there's something missing. And I am over that, for sure, and in the later years I had a good relationship and was very proud to introduce him to my wife. And I think it just all, boom, I met whatever it was I might have felt I needed to show him or prove to him, I guess. I certainly was aware that he did love me and care for me and made a real effort by taking up photography when I was a university student so that we could share. You know, he'd bring home magazines and he was doing it to build a connection. Not that he didn't love photography himself. He always was a photographer, but he used that as a way of connecting. And my mother kindly pointed that out. You know why he's doing this, eh? She didn't need to, but I think she wanted me to be maybe perhaps a little more grateful for the effort my father was making. He'd bought me a set of drums, I told you. And he was a musician, but we never once ever played together. He never came down with a guitar. You smack out a beat and I'll strum along on the banjo. Yeah, I get banjo and a set of drums don't work all that well anyway, but and on top of which I never learned to play. I have no sense of music. I could bash them and have fun, but I never got any better, you know. And it was very kind of them to allow me to make this racket. I think they just knew, hey, this kid's going to need to vent one way or another. Get him the drums. I guess I was still in high school, yeah. Anyway, now that we visited, you see, I didn't even know that was going to come out. But it appears to be inevitable that, you start opening this can of worms. Oh, yeah, we were getting on about crying. And I think I've got a lot of buried pain that I haven't opened up to. And they tell us that in the courses, because if you're going to be a counselor, you're going to be exposed to somebody else's pain. I notice we're renting this room out to a counselor who uses this very chair I'm sitting in. And there is always a box of tissue papers handy. This has got to be. So, There's just so much in there. I'd like to share a whole lot more with you. Some of you would tune into it. I know Tim might and others. There's a whole approach of just cognitive therapy and seeing how much our thinking affects our behavior and our interactions with others, and that there are times when you just have to challenge somebody's thinking because they've got some wrong premises about, you know, I've got to be perfect to please my mother or father or whatever, or your self-worth. You let others determine your self-worth, and a good counselor using various cognitive approaches, cognitive behavioral approaches, will question your thinking and hold it up in front of you and have you explore it and see, is this really so? And of course, they get into the methods. I'm reading, the book I'm reading is actually excellent. It's very much in depth. There was an entire unit on understanding and working with resistance and how for a beginner counselor, when a client is not making progress or seemingly shutting down on sensitive points, the counselor might think it's my fault, I'm not doing a good job. And he's saying, no, that's not necessarily the case. That resistance is a tremendous tool. It can be the key to opening, you know. Okay, what is it that you're afraid of? And you don't ask directly. You find ways of opening this up. You go with it. You don't force your views on it. But I never realized to the extent. And a theme I often come back to on the Dixon James podcast is, how much can we change ourselves? How much are we capable of change? And I always fall back on how much is just hardwired and boom, that's just the way I am. And I think I may talk about growth as being, you know, wow, that's what it's all about. That's where I'm at. But in fact, I'm very resistant to change myself. I like myself the way I am. And yet I know you hear me constantly on this podcast. I got to change my diet. I got to lose weight. I got to do something about the fact that I've got this pack rat-itis, you know, of hiding things in closets that I just can't deal with or get rid of. Like, this is a problem I need to unravel. Like, and I think, well, no, I've been using it because that's just the way I am. I can't help it. But maybe that's not true at all. That's just resistance. I'm afraid of going there. I'm afraid of letting go of things. So, like, I mean, we're talking about pieces of paper that I just don't know what to do with. So I'll hide them. I'll put it under another stack of paper. I'll put it under a folder. And you look at my desk and it just continually gets covered with things that don't need to be there. And as it builds up and the pile gets deeper, it just becomes such a headache for me, such a problem. Oh my God, I'm overwhelmed. I can't deal with this now. You know, maybe that's why I forgot or thought I forgot my cable and papers and came to the office, because I'm afraid to go into my own office now and deal with the things that I have to, my home office. In fact, it might explain why I have two offices, you know. But boy, do I ever love this one. Now that we're sharing the rent three ways, it's a huge help to have this place. It's a wonderful room with bright yellow walls. And it's just a nice working space. And I sincerely do hope that I can use it. Back to the business of counseling and resisting and so on. Every friend I think of, people who listen to this show and people who I know just personally, with the exception of a few, I think could benefit from counseling. I guess you'd probably answer, well, who wouldn't? But I'm saying, you know, counseling could really help this person move on with their life and make greater growth and maybe find greater happiness. You know who I'm talking about, don't you? Yeah, you. So, shall I read out a clip? Let's see. The thing I liked about was carrying the load. We carry loads we don't have to carry. I think I mentioned that already. Okay. Nah, I guess, I don't know. It's, if I go too far down this rabbit hole, Well, rabbit holes are fun, aren't they? Isn't the Dixon Jane's a bit of a rabbit hole? Talk about stages of change. You have to at least, one of the things about this cognitive, you know, behavioral change is just making the person aware of what they think, what beliefs they hold, and then maybe having them examine them. Well, where did that belief come from? Is that really true? You know, bad things always happen to me, or people don't like me for this reason or that. Is that true? Hold it up, examine it, and deal with it. So, man, I want to get at this stuff. I really want to get on this journey and work on somebody else. But maybe, I need to go through some treatment myself, some further treatment. It's just quite possible. And, you know, wow. This issue of not being able to let go of things, not being able to clean my office, my life would be so much easier, so much better. My wife would be so much happier if I could just pare down and get rid of shit. And I see that now. Like, okay, I'm not joking. In this conversation we're having now, I'm having with you, I know it's one-sided, but you're listening, aren't you? Through this process of me bringing this up, I have a greater clarity now that I do have a problem, and that problem is the stuff I collect and won't get rid of, I won't file, I won't organize, and it's become so overwhelming I can't deal with it, and I know that I can, and I know, excuse me, I would just be so much happier and freer if I did approach it. I'm thinking, like, there's so many other things. Remember that record player I bought that I used once and I haven't used since, and I just don't seem to have the time? There's another issue. Why not? Why aren't I going down the basement, putting on the record player, especially when my son is down the basement playing something? Oh, and I got an excuse. Well, because it's just digital and you can't hear the sounds. There's no speaker connected to it. It's not worth doing. Yeah, bullshit. There's a counselor in this very office who I could see, maybe make some kind of a deal with her. There's another one just around the corner. And what they would do would be give, here's an exercise, here's a practice. Okay, try today, just get rid of one thing, just get rid of one pile. And they would help me. This is definitely behavioral we're talking about now. It's not, what do I think about myself, my level of confidence, my interactions with others? I feel that a lot of that is under control. But it's the actual behavior. And to work on the behavior, I should flip to this section now. I'm going to get to the emotive next. To work on the behavior, you've got to sort of deal with the thinking and the emotions that are joined together, linked to it. And my emotions are depression and anxiety. Holy fuck, man. I really have, you know, taken the lid off this can. And maybe I'm treating myself right now. Maybe I'm sitting in the counselor's seat as I talk to you. God damn. I'm so glad I thought I left that plug here, because what was really, really at stake was I needed to explore this. I really needed to have this talk. And, like, I wasn't upset when I got here and found the plug's not here. And, gee, I had the papers all along. I realized I'm going to take advantage of being here alone. On a day I feel guilty because my wife is out in the garden. She's done the dusting. She's done the vacuuming. Now she's doing the weeding. And here I am sitting in an office going through some pseudotherapy. Little bit of guilt there, but not enough to make me feel I made a mistake, because I didn't. I got to be having this talk. This is for real, boys and girls. This is for real. I hope you appreciate that. Anyway, we're getting close to the 20-minute mark, so I probably should bring an end to it. But it is interesting to reflect on this, to look back, to try and put into practice some of the things I'm learning. Right. The integration of thinking, feeling, and behavior, right?
there must be one. Nice. Cognition, emotion, and behavior are not separate human functions. Rather, they are interactive and integrated. So he does go in at length about this, and I think that's it. So whether, stay tuned, whether or not I need to go to somebody else to get the help to break open that whole issue about not being able to get rid of stuff, that is a problem, it is a blockage, or whether I can do it on my own, and save the money. Well, hey, I'm paying $400 a course, for Christ's sake. It's already enough, isn't it? Anyway, thank you. Especially thank you to Mr. Tim Coyne of the Hollywood Podcast for being my best listener. He gets the best listener award for May and June. That's appreciated. Bye for
now. Cold fire, you've got everything but cold fire. You will be my rest and peace, child. I moved up to take a place near you. So tired, it's the sky that makes you feel tried. It's a trick to make you see wide. It can all but break your heart in pieces. Staying back in your memory are the movies in the dark. How you move is all it takes to sing a song of when I loved the prettiest star. Sing a song of when I loved the prettiest star. One day, though it might as well be someday, you will rise up high and take us all away, all because of what you are, the prettiest star.
Falling on my roof. I'm parked under a tree here at the St. Andrew's Cemetery. Favorite place to come when I just need to get away. It actually looks quite beautiful in the rain. Of course, it's, you know, full foliage and very, very green. This is not a time I would normally be talking to you, but I'm just going to take a few minutes, if you don't mind, to share. I seem to be in the middle of at least four battles. And now I've been presenting myself as somebody, just in the zone, best time of my life, calm, got my shit together. And there may be something wrong with that picture.
I've just driven my son home from school where he registered for some rewrites. And it seems no matter how I initiate a conversation with him, I'm doing it wrong. Now, I'm not saying it's all my fault. But at the end of it, when I stop to reflect on how did that go off the rails, you know, how did something seemingly so innocent just have him angry at me again and again and again, which is why I'm here and out of the house. So there's a part of me that's just bloody annoyed. How could it possibly be my fault? But the fact that it's happening, and there's this creeping suspicion that, am I starting to sound like my father? And it's not that my father caused trouble, but his manner, maybe, my father always had this, answer to problems. And it made everybody uncomfortable, you know, like, oh my God, it's a heavy burden. And I think I may be doing the same, you know, not knowingly, but it just happening. Because it always seems to be wrong, you know. And my son is responding. It's not about the money, you know, that I'm giving to support him. It's, I'm just not giving the right emotional support. And I'm afraid he's right. And I just don't know any other way. I guess I'm having a really hard time being authentic in my relationship with my son. There's just a problem somewhere, and I don't know how to solve it. Now, you might think, well, dude, it's because you're taking all these counseling courses, which my son even made reference to. You should know better. That maybe I'm just over-examining things, but no. It's been this way for quite a while. It's tricky. It's very tricky. But anyway, that's one of them. Last night, I barbecued steaks. Oh, my God, am I ever glad I fixed up the barbecue. Bought a new burner, bought a new splash pan. Hey, I actually did something. You know, it was only hours before my cousin was coming to cook dinner, and I thought he was using the barbecue that I opened it up and realized, holy fuck, this is just not working. Like, there was just open flames everywhere. When I took it apart, it had completely corroded, and there were holes. You know, I mean, it was a danger. But I did get that fixed, and I'm proud of that. And now that it's fixed, it's just so much better for barbecuing. Anyway, I barbecued a couple of really nice steaks. Bought some prime rib and put on some Montreal steak spice, and they were really juicy and good. Oh, it scares me being a meat lover when you hear about the use of land it takes to raise cattle and the loss of other farmland. But anyway, let's just get on with the story, all right? In the middle of it, I'm out there. My wife's out on the deck, and she's bought some lovely hanging planters. And oh, my God, they look nice. And I look at the garden, and I'm like, oh, my God. She just does an amazing job every year. But she mentions we have a rain barrel. I asked the city to install it. There was a point, it was right at the end, they were going to cut off the service. But they would put in new downspouts to save all the water going into the sewer. And, you know, resulting in overflows. And install free rain barrels at your house. Well, I thought this was great. And another spout, they did it free of charge. I just got in before the deadline. But my wife insists it's a breeding ground for mosquitoes. Now, it may be that, I guess, there's a certain amount of still water there. And she starts talking about it. She's talked to other people at work about it. And there's a cap that goes over. And I'm saying, well, I don't know about any cap. All I know is the city came for free to put this in, and I can't try and track somebody down in the city department and say, I need a cap for my rain barrel, there should be one, and they're going to say, what kind of cap? And I'm saying, I don't know, it's just something somebody at work told my wife and she told me, and I'm just trying to eat this goddamn steak, and I don't want to think about one more goddamn thing that I have to do. And I lose it. I just lose it. Push the plate away. I can't eat this goddamn steak if I got to think about caps for rain barrels. And emotionally, I know you're saying, you asshole.
Come on. But I couldn't help it. Like, I reached this breaking point, this saturation point of my fucking list of things to do around the house, and I can't take one more. And I know I can't get my wife to do it, because that's just not going to happen. And I feel this weight, and I feel this frustration, and I just have an outburst. So, boom, that's battle number two. Battle number three. Barnacle Bill. Out west. Barnacle Bill and I have a fight every month and a half, I guess. And we'll maybe go for 2 days, no more than 4 or 5 days without talking. Like, I'll just stop. Boom. Not answering. I'm pissed. But there's something about me that really bugs him. Like, something that I always seem to be doing wrong. And it always comes back to me being selfish and inconsiderate and thinking only about myself and have my head so far up my own ass that I don't know what's going on. And on it goes. And it really bugs me. It really bugs me. What is underlying all this, I'm wanting to say? What's really eating at you? Because it can't possibly be my mowing the lawn on a Sunday, which seems to be what it is. Because that represents my selfishness, my inconsideration, there should be a law. It all started with him coming home to his condo. He's the condo president and man in charge and so on. And somebody's doing a renovation and they don't give him a very good answer. And there's a very clear-cut written rule in the contract that you don't do renovations without permission. And you sure as hell don't do them on a Sunday. And she sort of dismisses him. And I could tell that just gives him a head of steam. And he files a report. And he's going to make her pay and whatever. I'm talking about mowing my lawn. My wife needs the lawn load. I don't see any problem with mowing your lawn on a Sunday. My neighbors do. Well, this is just inconsiderate of me. And bam, he lets me have it. You know, displaced anger. Now, this case, the fault is 80% his. Maybe 20% of me for winding him up. I don't know. And I bounce back an email. And I've discovered a new sore spot with him, and I'm afraid I've resorted to using it. I accuse him of being like a mullah. He is so against every religion. And is basically a good man, but just has a short Scottish temper and is quick to get angry, find fault with others. And he doesn't like it when I say, hey, you're sounding like a mullah. Just put a turban on your head and you're worse than the guys in Afghanistan or something along those lines, which I knew is really upping the ante. Oh, he doesn't like that. But I don't like being told I got my head up my ass and I'm selfish and inconsiderate because goddammit, I hear enough of that shit. Trying to get myself better. I'm trying to be loving of myself. Whoa, you're already too loving of yourself, buddy boy. Dial it back a few notches. Start hating yourself. Fuck off! Well, both of us exchanged several fuck you emails, and that's the end of that. Meanwhile, we've got this great holiday planned in Nova Scotia, which I know I've told you about, and we picked the date. We're going to be on the farm where our buddy, the Nova Scotia guy, lives. We've all known him. I know him since, Christ, 1965. And we had a reunion in 1988. This is the 25th anniversary. We were trying to get all kinds of people to come out. Well, right now it's down to the Barstool Buddha coming in from Thailand, Barnacle Bill flying in from Vancouver, and me riding shotgun with the Barstool Buddha in his rented camper. We pick a weekend. Suddenly we get an email out of the blue, seemingly, saying, hey, guys, I'm racing my car that weekend. He's got a nice, hot, old-fashioned BMW, and he's going to take it out on some track in Shubenacadie. I wrote back, what the fuck? What's this going to Shubin fucking Acadie the weekend we're supposed to be on your farm? Too bad buddies can't change it. And we're all pissed. So I'm firing back emails. You've just shit on all, you dumped a truckload of shit on our heads because we had already planned this. We've planned our schedule. Let's see, you know, what the fuck are you doing, man? And he more or less says, well, I don't care. I'm going, I'm racing my car, that's it. We'll find another date. Well, Jesus Christ, man! Think of your buddies traveling all this distance, so boom, there's the Is that the fourth one? Yeah, there's the fourth battle going on. And I'm thinking, well, wait a minute now. In one day, a period of 24 hours, you got four battles going? Surely, some of that is my problem. I don't know. I'm sharing it with you. And I'm not trying to portray myself as the good guy, the reasonable guy in the whole world is all fucked up and unfair. No, no, no. I'm owning up to the fact that I've... must have stirred up some of this shit. But Jesus Christ. More and more, it's making me think, yeah, I do need some counseling. And I'm afraid of it. Like, I'm afraid of what I'm going to find. And that is a classic case of, hey, if you're afraid of what you're going to find, maybe you're not ready to be a counselor just yet, buddy. Maybe you got some of your own shit to sort out. And that is precisely what it is. So I don't know what's next. I just wanted to share that with you. I'm going to go home now. I'm going to read more of my book. I'm going to... Oh, and the things I referred to yesterday, that business of the weight. Like, I can't even... Going into my office depresses me. All these papers, there's some on the floor now. What do I... How do I deal with them? How do I find... I just can't do it, and all I want to do is lie down and shut it out. That's all I want now. I just want a fucking nap. I'm shouting again. I'm sorry. Like, that's just too much for me to deal with. In reality, it shouldn't be too much for me to deal with. I should just be able to get a handle on all this crap. And then you feel that vicious circle. Okay, well, now I'm starting to feel the weight again because I'm not doing what I should be doing, what I'm capable of being doing, you know? Oh, fuck. So I'm just going to leave it hanging. I'm not going to give you a nice tight answer that, hey, guess what? I'm all better now. It's all fixed. No. Seems to be getting a bit worse. But, what the fuck? It's got to be before it gets better. Maybe I'll just stay here and read a bit. Yeah, why not? I'll do that. I gotta have my book here somewhere. It better fucking be. And I'll be back at you real soon. Where the fuck is that book? God damn it. Come on. Come on. Come on. There it is. All right. So take care and talk to you later, right? Bye for now.
It really does, and mm-hmm. It's good, man. It's great.
Well, thank you.
Well, I guess overall, that's pretty much all I had myself to say. I mean, I'm glad we closed on the idea about talking a little bit more about the themes. This is a show that is heavily deals with themes. I mean, Matthew loves that. He loves how to tie everything together. He's infatuated with it. I mean, and it's one of those things that I've tried to do better, John, about talking a little bit more about that in my reviews, just because I know a lot of hardcore fans like to talk about it. Even though I think for the average fan, it kind of goes on waste sometimes because, you know, the average fan does, you know, they just watch a show to be watching it. They don't like to overthink things. Like, my wife's a great example. She doesn't like to overthink anything. You know, I used to overthink the show Lost, and she would just be like, she just watched it for fun. And I think most fans like to do that. But this is a show that's just so smart and so well written. And the way they like to write around their themes. And they everything ties in together. So I think it's very fitting that we close out with some of your feelings about as far as how some of the themes, you know, really related to yourself in the episode. And that was well spoken.
Well, I appreciate it. I mean, the thing with themes is that they're great, and they give a really good outline and skeleton for the entire series and episode by episode. I think that as shows mature and as they go on, just in longevity, people get a sense of that there's going to be like these very deep and kind of meaningful scenes in every episode and every scene. Mm-hmm. And maybe sometimes there is, but sometimes you have to kind of play it. Just watch. I mean, it's not to say that, like, you can't do it every time, because certainly we all do it. But, like, I feel like sometimes we suck the enjoyment out of it by being overly critical, overly analytical about every line, every scene. And I mean, there's nothing, like I said, there's nothing wrong with doing that. But, you know, the reason we started watching this show was not to break it down scene by scene, but it was because we got sucked into the story. We got sucked into the people. And that's what we are at the mercy of Matthew Weiner and his crew of very smart writers and directors. And that's all we can ask for, because they've done an excellent job in the first 74 episodes, and we expect nothing less going forward.
That, yeah, absolutely. That's well stated. I think you're absolutely right. Well, I don't know what else to say, man. This is we did a great job, I think, covering this episode. Really do. The name of the episode, of the next episode, by the way, is A Tale of Two Cities. You know, do you think that's referencing
Jeremiah.
The great Dickens book?
And friends.
We'll have to see.
But it certainly could be.
It's the exact name of the title of the book as well. So it'll be interesting to see what comes about of that episode. So I...